Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Albrecht and Kester. It is a Tuesday. It is a Tuesday following a Monday doubleheader sweep for the Kansas City Royals. It is a Tuesday. That means the countdown continues. Almost 1 week away from the start of the NFL regular season for the Kansas City Chiefs, taking on the Ravens in the opener. We will have a Royals guest, a Chiefs guest for you today. Kings of Kauffman, Mike Gillespie will join us, our new Royals insider, as we go down the stretch here. Perfect timing after yesterday. And Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, expected to join in the second hour as well. Lots of good stuff coming for you. We'll begin to look at some of the KU and K-State rumblings coming out of camp yesterday as well. We have two big giveaways for you today. We'll, of course, give away some HTO, as we always do. And then if you missed your opportunity yesterday, we'll give you another one today. I will do this each day this week to see Cody Jinks at Intrust Bank Arena. That's in late November, but you want to get your opportunity to win those tickets. So we'll do both of those things today. The IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Jad Chambers is there. You can also leave us your video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X, and of course, on 12 News Connected. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Busy day. A lot to get to on the show today. I'm really excited about our guests that we have to talk a little Royals in the first hour with Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman. And then in hour two, it's the first time that we'll have a chance to talk to Dan Israel in advance of the start of the regular season for the Kansas City Chiefs. So a lot to talk about today. Glad to be here.
It is going to be a fun program. If you're a Royals fan today, it's very interesting. There's a lot to unpack from yesterday in that doubleheader. Not just that the Royals were able to get two wins. That's the first and foremost great news. But we sat yesterday here talking about how difficult it was going to be for them if they didn't get the bullpen figured out. Well, they made some moves. Zerpa down, Will Smith to the IL. Those had been two of the biggest offenders, and they bring some young guys up. They bring up Alec Marsh. It was a day where Cole Reagans did not have his stuff, clearly. He actually left the game with an injury that they're calling a hamstring calf injury. Let's see what happens. We'll see if our Royals insider has any more insight. It looked to me like he couldn't grip the ball. I was terrified when they said he left the game with injury. So maybe good news there. Who knows? Maybe he just didn't have his stuff. But they come up with a way to win that game. Then Alec Marsh comes in the next game. Royals make a couple of errors early, and that's another one that could have unraveled on them, and they don't do it. And yesterday when we said, you know, relatively speaking, that part of the bullpen, that middle part of the bullpen, was time to panic, and the Royals must have had the same thought because they made some changes. In the first game, though, Tommy, it was the cast that we still expect good things from, right? MacArthur, although he was aided by a big-time MJ Melendez catcher, he probably would have had a pretty bad outing, but I think he stays in his handy just because his stuff is still good. Bubich gave you more than an inning, did give up a run, but he got his job done for the most part. Schreiber was good again in multi-inning use. Whew. Thank goodness he's back, and then Lucas Ursic does his thing. The second game, Tommy, was a little bit different, right? All these moves, and it was a Sam Long to Daniel Lynch, you know, three-inning Daniel Lynch save. That was a little uncharacteristic, but the bottom line is both of those games fit that profile that we were talking about yesterday of games the Royals were having a hard time winning, where it wasn't the starter goes six innings and then you hand it off to the end of the bullpen. Neither game saw that, and they won both of those games against the Guardians. That's about as good as you could have hoped for the Royals.
Yeah, it really was. And of course, it's been very well documented, the struggles in the bullpen, especially as of late. And, you know, some of those guys outside of the couple that you just mentioned, and they needed to lean on their bullpen in both games to win both games against the Guardians. And so if you would have asked me before the doubleheader started yesterday if the Royals would win both games of the doubleheader knowing that they were going to have to lean on their bullpen in both games, I would have told you you were crazy. That would have never happened. And it did. They found a way to make it happen. You know, I think that it's important to note that with Cole Reagans, first and foremost, Matt Quatrero called it after the game, called him fine, said he was fine, had some leg cramping and that sort of thing with the heat and, you know, all of that. So, you know, that's Quatrero after the game. We'll see when the next turnaround, the rotation comes, if Reagans is good to go for that. But yeah, I mean, they had to make some moves in the bullpen. You know, I think that it was the right thing to do to move Zerpa down. I know Will Smith is now on the IL with back spasms. He hasn't looked right in a while. So that wasn't overly shocking to me. I think what was probably the biggest revelation with the bullpen yesterday out of both games is the 3-inning stretch from Daniel Lynch. You know, Daniel Lynch had been in the minors, and let's be real. I mean, totally honest here. In the brief outings that Daniel Lynch has had in the big leagues up to this point in his career, he hasn't been good. And so I wasn't expecting a whole lot from him, and I know it's one outing. But the fact that he comes in, is able to protect a lead, and I know that the Royals blew it wide open on Salvi's grand slam in the nightcap, right. And that's great. But he had to protect that lead over multiple innings. He goes 3 innings. And, you know, this is the first appearance that we've seen from him in the big leagues in a long time. That was probably, in my opinion at least, the most refreshing part of what we saw from the bullpen in both games.
I agree. I agree holistically, but it also preserves their bullpen. I loved the outing from Sam Long. I don't know if it's any more or less important than Long and Schreiber. I think what's happening, hopefully, is you're getting a collection now of Bubich, Schreiber, Long, Ursig, right? That gives you 4 now. Harvey might come back. It may be solving itself to some degree. I doubt Lynch stays up because Bubich kind of does the same thing for the Royals better than Lynch at this point. But maybe there's room for Lynch as the long man, I suppose. I'm most concerned about Reagans. Like, he's got to get back. And we'll talk to Mike Gillespie about this at Kings of Kauffman. I'm curious to get his take. I still think there's value in moving to a 6-man rotation for just a minute. We were talking before the show about some of the roster moves and the strategy. They sent Marsh down. I don't think that's unusual. He's got options, and he's worthless until the next turn in the rotation anyway. So while you're playing this stretch of games, it makes more sense to keep an extra reliever up. He could get called right back up if something is wrong with Reagans. But the bottom line is, Tommy, the starting pitching is not holding up at this point. And I don't know if extra rest can help. I mean, it's okay, right? Again, we're talking about a massive position of strength. Early in the season, they had to have the starting pitching be as good as it was. They probably don't now. You still want that by the time the postseason gets here, but you still got a month of baseball to play and a brutal schedule to play it. If we would have laid out these scenarios for you yesterday, we'd have never thought they'd win a doubleheader, let alone maybe even one of them. I mean, you go into like the rest of the series. I mean, money.
The way that they won it, I would have not, you know, predicted that they would have won both games of the doubleheader in the way in which they did, and with having to come from behind in both games, having to lean on your bullpen more. You know, when it comes to Alec Marsh, by the way, he was fine. He wasn't great.
Yeah, it was the errors.
He was fine, and look, that had been a knock on Alec Marsh the entire season, where he was either like pretty good or really good, or he was a disaster. And he wasn't either one of those things yesterday. And watching him, I kind of liked that. I kind of liked that it wasn't such a wild range of outcomes with Alec Marsh, right? Like, it was just something that, you know, he came in, he gave you almost 5 innings, 4 2/3. He gave up a couple of runs. You mentioned the errors, you know, that were uncharacteristic, I think, from the Royals defensively. But more than anything, it would get really nerve-wracking for me every time Alec Marsh pitched when he was in the regular rotation before he got sent down and they acquired Michael Lorenzen, because you never knew what you were going to get. And if he can, assuming that the Royals bring him back up at some point, if they do go to a six-man rotation or they utilize him to fill in from time to time, I would rather have a consistent fine Alec Marsh than never knowing exactly what kind of Alec Marsh you're going to get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like him to always be good, I guess. But yes, consistency would be nice. Yeah. I just... What we need for this team as much as anything is strength throughout the bullpen. The answer is not going to be, I don't think. I mean, I would love for it to be this, but I don't think it's going to be, oh, the starters all just bounce back and everything's back to normal. I think that's just highly unlikely. I mean, we have a large sample size now that these guys are not what they were at the beginning of the season, which is not surprising because, again, they're all reaching innings thresholds. Like, this is a new frontier for all of them. You have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to be able to stretch it out over the course of a season, especially for almost all of these guys who have, to their credit, stepped up in a major way and provided something they've never done before. That's awesome. Now you got to figure out how to finish it. And so we'll see. We're gonna take a break here so we can get things timed out for our first guest. We'll kind of go back-to-back guest a little bit today, but that's okay. We'll get much, much more on the Royals, including a look at the game tonight as we make our way through our Royals Insider. Mike Gillespie from the Kings of Kauffman blog will join us in just a little bit. Let's talk about some of the Chiefs' little moves. They made a couple of moves, I think, that we need to pay attention to, not just the Juju move yesterday as they're trying to tinker and get to their final roster. So we'll go through those. We are hoping to have Dan Israel on a little bit later, and hopefully he's feeling better, and we'll do that as well. It is a busy Tuesday. Your calls, your comments, always welcome. It's all Brockton Caster. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Let's get our Cody Jinx giveaway going here. We'll switch them up, do this one hour number one today. In case you missed your opportunity yesterday, don't miss your chance to see Cody Jinx at Intrust Bank Arena on November 23rd. Just text the keyword Cody to the short code 20357. That's CODY to 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll do this through Friday. I love Cody Jinx. I think it'll be a great show. Jad described it well yesterday. Outlaw country is a good way to describe Cody Jinx. Certainly, I don't think he's somebody that's on mainstream radio, but he's awesome. I think he's got some really good songs, including one of my favorites. So good luck, everybody. Tommy, the Chiefs made some moves yesterday that are moderately impactful, we'll call it. You know, the Juju's Smith-Schuster move, I think, could be impactful. Then they make a trade with the Cardinals for a defensive lineman, trade a seventh-round pick. Okay. I think that's, you know, I now that we've seen the following move today, that it is Charles Omenihue is going to remain on the PUP list, I think that's why they made that move, which is probably less of an indictment on Felix Anudike-Uzomah, which is sort of where I was concerned last night, but now that we see Omenihue going on the PUP, that's why they made that move. They're just tinkering, you know, just tinkering a little bit, but you know, they're moves that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I think it can be both. I think that it's also a little bit of an indictment on Felix Anudike-Uzomah. Not that it's, you know, they're not convinced that he can play at all, but you know, they need some reinforcements behind him. And I understand Charles Omenihue probably not returning until, I think they're speculating, sometime in the month of November has been basically all the reporting that I've seen. And for sure, he won't be eligible to come back, at least for the first handful of games, best case scenario, now that he's going to be kept on the PUP list. So yeah, they need reinforcements. That's why they traded, you know, for Cam Thomas to come in and be a linebacker for them and provide some additional depth. I think that they would feel a little bit more confident about their overall linebacker core if Felix Anudike-Uzomah had shown a little bit more and had kind of taken that step forward and shown that improvement. There's been quite a bit of talk throughout the preseason that he really hasn't taken that step forward that you would expect to see from a former first-round pick. Can he be impactful in the NFL? Sure. I think that he can still be somebody that, you know, comes in and you know, does a good job overall. But I do think that they have decided, the Chiefs have decided that they need a little bit more help at linebacker. And being able to come in and make an acquisition like that again, I think it also shows me they're not fully content with who they currently had on that roster.
Yeah, obviously, I guess is the right answer, or they're just tinkering because they can tinker. It's all fine. I don't know what's going to happen with the pass rush. I don't think yesterday's move is going to blow us away, and all of a sudden we think, oh, there it is. That's the missing piece there. It seems like a depth piece. I think really a Minshew was the best option, or Felix Anudike-Uzomah, it clicks for him and he's able to make it happen. It does add a little bit of pressure early, because we don't know what to expect in the secondary as well. I would imagine we get lots of blitzing early from Steve Spagnuolo, and because he's returned so much, I don't think that's a problem this year. Like, for the most part, everybody's already up to speed on his system, which is something he hasn't always had in his back pocket, so that'll help too. Man, you come right out of the gates and you're taking on the Ravens? That's a tough assignment anyway, because you don't get normal pass pressure on, you know, Lamar Jackson. But now, not only that, but you got to stop Derrick Henry, who will be as fresh as he is all year, who has been a thorn in the Chiefs' side. The Ravens are going to be tough, man. I'm very curious, and I'm sure there is an early line on this game. I haven't looked at it. I'm sure it's like 3 points, but that is an interesting one to think about. The Chiefs could lose an opener. They lost their opener last year. It's not that big a deal, but that's a pretty tough assignment there against the Ravens right now.
Yeah, you know, they obviously like George Karloftis a lot and what brought to the table, but I think that it's, you know, clearly on the other side of the line, the defensive line, to be able to get, you know, some help there on the edge. And that, you know, that's why they bring in Cam Thomas to an extent. Now, again, I think that's going to provide some additional depth as potentially a backup player. But one of the things that Felix Anudike-Uzomah has struggled with early on in his tenure in Kansas City has been defending the run. You mentioned week number one, they play the Ravens, who acquired Derrick Henry. And so right out of the gate, you would think he's going to get tested pretty quickly. You know, the Ravens, I think, are going to know that if they're going to give the ball to Derrick Henry, that, you know, where to run him, where it's the weakest on the line for Kansas City's defense. And that's Felix Anudike-Uzomah right now. And so it's going to be a tough test, a tall test for him right out of the gates in week number one, taking on this already dynamic Ravens offense. You've got to try to contain Lamar Jackson, and then you've got that added wrinkle now with Derrick Henry. It's going to be a tough challenge from week number one.
I don't know that it's been Derrick Henry. As we look back down the road at the most impactful offseason's moves made, and we won't see it in this game, I think Hollywood Brown has a chance to be in that car. Derrick Henry, if things go well for the Ravens, Derrick Henry will be like an all-time move, because if he still has gas in the tank, like, it's a perfect addition. Pressure is on now for the Chiefs. They've got all kinds of things, but, you know, Leo Chenal, he's being asked to step up into a bigger role. Pressure's on. Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil. Like, they let some players go. Like, the test is across the board. We've got somebody asking us, this is a funny question for us specifically, because we're all over the map on this. We'll talk, hopefully, if Dan Israel is able to join us today, we'll get his take on this. But do we think Kadarius Toney will make the team? I am probably about 50-50. Tommy is a more definitive no. My problem is I don't know if he's got such a clearly defined role, the fan, that I think it's more about a decision on whether they want that role on the team. I don't think he factors in as much to like a stacking of the wide receivers as far as, like, I don't think Juju impacts Toney much. I think Juju impacts the other guys. I think if they keep Toney, it's just because they want they want those few wrinkles that they had designed for him anyway. So we'll see. That's coming later this week, but we'll talk more about all this, all the Chiefs moves, all these things, hopefully with Dan Israel at the top of the hour. Let's take another break here. Good luck on that giveaway. By the way, that football talk, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Up next, for the first time, our new Royals insider, Michael Espy, will join us from the Kings of Kauffman block. We're excited to bring that in, and we will do it next. The Royals sweep a doubleheader, trying to make up more ground on the Guardians tonight. Stick around. Sports Daily coming right back.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, joining us right now on our video stream. And for everybody, for the first time, Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman. You probably know the X handle if you're there. It's Kings of Kauffman.com. It's fan-sided Royals site. We're so excited to get Mike Gillespie in. You can follow him on X at Mike Gillespie, G-I-L-L-S-B-J-D. You can follow the Kings of Kauffman there as well. Mike, welcome into Sports Daily for the first time. How are you?
Pretty good, gentlemen. Glad to be here. How are you this morning?
We're good. I mean, it's better when the Royals take a doubleheader the way they did yesterday. It's funny, Mike. We yesterday, relatively speaking, you know, said it's time for changes in the middle of that bullpen. The soft belly of the bullpen is not allowing the Royals to do one of the things that they do really well, which is come back late in the game. Well, they go into a doubleheader and they get a Cole Reagans not good start and potential injury, which we'll get to. They get a couple errors and a chance for a game to unravel on Alec Marsh. But then we maybe see a little strength in the bullpen on a day against the team, you know, that they got to beat. That was exactly what the doctor ordered.
Well, I agree. And frankly, it surprised me. The Royals have struggled with that bullpen all season. We've written about it till we're almost tired of writing about it. But yesterday, you know, these guys, like you say, they came through when they needed to. They give up one run in over 9.1 innings, spread over two games, and I don't recall the last time this bullpen was that good. It's one of those things that they've got to have down the stretch now. They can't afford a bullpen collapse. They're a game out of first in the Central, and they've got a great 6.5 game over lead over Boston for that third wild card. And they've done it in spite of the bullpen, frankly. I've been hard on the bullpen all year. I'll probably be hard on them down the stretch, but that was really good to see yesterday. That was refreshing, as you said.
You know, Mike, I mentioned at the top of the show that for me, the most refreshing pitcher out of the bullpen was somebody that I never expected, and that's Daniel Lynch coming up. You know, he's had limited time in the big leagues, and frankly, when he's been with the big league club, he hasn't been very good. But last night, pitched three innings in relief, pretty much a clean three innings, had a little bit of issues here and there, but overall, the Royals had to have him. Do you anticipate a guy like Daniel Lynch being a contributor maybe in the bullpen or in whatever role in this pitching staff down the stretch?
Well, you know, he was really stellar down in Omaha for the last couple of months, but he was starting. And I think in the grand scheme of things, if the Royals were in a perfect world, they'd really like to have him in the rotation. But right now, I think he's best out of the pen. Is he going to come out and throw three scoreless innings and get a save like he did yesterday? Hopefully, but probably not. But I think he could be solid. He's got the stuff to be solid. But right now, barring an injury in that rotation, I think you're going to see Quatrero use him almost exclusively out of the pen, and who knows where. He's capable of pitching in any spot out of the pen.
It's interesting, too, Mike Gillespie joining us, Kings of Kauffman. I think it matters now. It won't matter later either, which is something, you know, bullpen shrink if the Royals reach the postseason. These things aren't going to be a problem, but you got to get there. One of the things that I am pondering is an idea. The starting pitching clearly is gassed. They're not as good as they were, which is, you know, that would have been an unreasonable expectation anyway, but almost all of them feel gassed to me. I have wondered with when you've got Lynch and not Lynch, but when you've got Marsh there, hell, maybe when you've got Lynch there, what if the Royals go to a six-man rotation just down the stretch here to get a little extra rest for these starters? I don't know if anybody is asking that. I don't know if Quatero's considering it, but I mean, it just is pretty obvious that these guys are at a threshold now they're not comfortable with. And I don't know what you do to get them ready for the postseason, but at the same time, realize you still got to get there.
Well, you know, I share that concern. The rotation is, you know, is where it is. And one of the reasons I think they are showing signs of being gassed is because the Royals have allowed those starters to pitch deeper into games than they're used to. I mean, it's nothing to see these guys throw 100 pitches anymore. As far as a six-man rotation goes, they've got a day off a week at least for the rest of the season, usually on the Thursdays. I'd be surprised if they go to a six-man, again, barring an injury or someone really getting gassed, because I think Quatrero is a guy who, you know, if it isn't completely broken, he sees no need to fix it. But you're right, they've got Lynch there. They can recall Marsh at any time. You know, because he was the 27th man yesterday, he had, by rule, he had to be returned to Omaha after the game. So, yeah, they've got options. And the rotation is one of the two things I think the Royals have to keep intact and going well down the stretch, or they're not going to make the playoffs. The other thing is Bobby Witt. You know, he can't go into a slump.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Mike. And speaking of Bobby Witt and the lineup, for such a long time, it was, you know, kind of a top-heavy lineup. I mean, you had Witt, you had Pascantino, you had Perez. And then outside of that, there just really wasn't any production elsewhere. It's gotten a little bit more spread out. Obviously, those top three guys, you know, are still the ones that drive the bus, you know, pretty much each and every night. But, you know, specifically yesterday, you see Michael Garcia have a really good game. Actually, Garrett Hampson hit the ball pretty well. It had been a while since we had seen that from him. He had been in a prolonged slump for quite a while. And MJ Melendez, it looks like, is, you know, maybe starting to come around too a little bit. What are you seeing from some of those supplemental pieces in the lineup where it doesn't always have to be one of those main three stars that the Royals have had to lean on for so long?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned MJ because, you know, I've been an MJ fan for a long time, and I just wrote a story about him Sunday night and this, I don't want to call a resurgence of his hitting ability because he, you know, he hits home runs, but he doesn't get on base a lot in his career so far. But he, like you say, he's really coming around. The other guy that I keep an eye on is Paul DeJong. You talk about an out of the blue trade deadline acquisition. That was him. And, you know, he brings a lot of power. And I think Quatrero kind of likes him in the lineup. He gets some nice things done at the plate. He's adequate with a glove. And, you know, he's got reverse splits, which makes, you know, platooning him kind of different. But I think those two guys are really worth keeping an eye on down the stretch.
Mike Gillespie joining us, kingsofkauffman.com, Kings of Kauffman on social, following the Royals in this magical, we'll call it, season that I don't know that anybody saw coming. Jason has a question for you, Mike, on YouTube, kind of a logistics-type question. Hunter Renfroe, what is the stat? You think that's a brief stay? You think it's a long stay on the IL there? Or how quickly, because he has become a big part of the offense, how quickly did the Royals expect to get him back?
Well, you know, he's on the 10-day list, which the non-pitchers have to go on initially unless they put him on the 60. The Royals are talking pretty optimistically about Renfroe. You know, I've been following those guys for decades. And the one thing, when they talk about injuries, if they think it's serious, they tend to be a little reserved. But when it's serious, they don't come out and say things like, hey, this is going to be a short stay. He's going to be back. So, yeah, I think he'll be back at the end of that period. You know, they might mix him in kind of slowly to begin with. But he's a guy they need, and I think he'll be back pretty soon.
Mike, I know that it's really almost sounds like a broken record to talk about all of the superlatives when we're discussing Salvador Perez and just what he has brought to the organization in all the various ways throughout his tenure in Kansas City. But specifically, you know, yesterday was just a phenomenal day for him, especially last night, that grand slam that busted the score wide open against the Guardians. And, you know, it's great because he's somebody that, you know, as we all know, was a part of the last championship team. He doesn't have, you know, decades left on this roster. And so it almost feels like to me that there's this energy with the other members of the team. It's like, we're going to get Salvi back to the playoffs. Like that's our goal. We're going to do this for him. And I know it's, you know, probably really easy to say how great he is, but what have you seen from him specifically throughout the course of this season with his game in the clubhouse, otherwise, as far as kind of galvanizing this team?
Well, you know, that's the role he's had to play the last few years. And this year, he's doing that same thing, that galvanizing. He's got a little help from Bobby, who's, you know, become a leader at such an early stage in his career. But, you know, Perez just loves the game. And I think, you know, I'm not in that clubhouse, but I think that's just infectious.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a Kansas City Star had a nice story this morning about, you know, what you just said, Tommy, that they want to get to the playoffs for Salvi. And I think that's a huge factor. When your teammates talk that way about you, they're on his back, you know, he and Bobby. And, you know, it's one of the, I was just thinking about this last night after that second game. You look at the Royals and their history of long-term contracts. You know, they had the best of intentions with Danny Duffy's and the best of intentions with Alex Gordon. And those deals didn't pan out. I was a little skeptical when they gave Salvi 4 years at $85 million. But that's a long-term contract that's worked out. I mean, he's done everything they want. The big thing they're doing with him now is they're playing him at first and DH more, and I think that's really, really helping him physically.
He's a Hall of Famer. I think, Mike, I've been in that camp for 2 or 3 years, but he will challenge some things. He, to me, has the same sort of DNA that we have seen from – some of these guys who just love it so much that they can remain in the game just sort of as sluggers. I mean, we saw Vladimir Guerrero do that late in his career. We saw Adrian Beltre do that, although he remained a great defender. But, you know, Nelson Cruz did that for a long time. I think there's a place for him for a while. At minimum at DH as he continues to age. I don't know if he's become a better hitter late in his years, but it sure feels like he hasn't lost anything at the plate if he hasn't gotten better. I think he's become a better power hitter as he ages, and I don't know that that's just going to stop. Like, you know, some people think he's coming down to the end of the career. I don't know that there's anybody that loves baseball more. I think he's got plenty left in the tank to keep going for a while.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the really overlooked stat, offensive stat with Perez is, you know, he's got an on-base percentage in excess of .340. You know, that's unheard of from Salvador Perez. And even though he reverts now and then, we don't see him chasing those low and away pitches in the dirt like he used to. He does it now and then, but it's not as chronic as it used to be. And if I'm Salvi Perez and Matt Cotrera, I'm also thanking Freddie for Maine. That guy is a fantastic catcher. Everybody and he's the one, you know, that enables Cotrera to move Salvi around more than the Royals ever have.
One last thing for you, Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman. Cole Reagans leaves his start yesterday. You mentioned they don't usually say things like he's fine, which is sort of what they said after that. I was concerned when he came out of the game. I didn't expect hamstring. Do you believe them? Is it just a hamstring cramp type thing, or was there something going on? It looked like me. He couldn't grip the ball right.
He didn't look good from the beginning yesterday. And, you know, they say leg cramps. I'm not going to doubt that. But my question is there a little more going on, just as you say, because you look at some of his tendencies from yesterday. His fastball and slider velocities were down. Now that he said after the game that, you know, I'm not in my legs, my leg work wasn't good, and of course that can contribute to those lower velos. But you know, I think they're going to have to keep an eye on him. Whether he's going to miss a start, I don't know. But if he comes out in his next start, which will be against the Astros, and is struggling again, they're going to have to take a pretty hard look at him.
Kingsofkauffman.com. Mike, I see you've got more on Salvi there and more on the doubleheader split. Take a second here. It's the first time we've had you in, and we really appreciate it, of what people can expect from you guys at Kings of Kauffman.
Well, you know, it's an interesting time for us. I went on the site in 2019. This is the first year that the Royals have been good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a little different for us coverage-wise. You know, all the writers everywhere are writing about the same thing. We try to give a little fresh perspective. We just don't report what's happening. You see a lot of opinion and analysis from us, and that's what people can expect from us down the stretch here. We're gonna take a close look at the games, close look at what's going on with the guys, and as always, give our opinions.
Well,
we're looking forward to it.
Been about like a decade for us too, since we're in August, late August, talking Royals. So we love it too. Royals insider Mike Gillespie joining us. Kings of Kauffman, give him a follow on X. Check out the work there at the website as well. Mike, we appreciate it, and thanks for stopping by. Let's do it again next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There goes Mike Gillespie. Check it out. We're all having fun with the Royals now. It is August 27th, Tommy, and it is Royals talk, and that is fantastic. And I have heard, I've heard from people, I have friends, and I hear this a lot, actually. Like, man, it's been a while since we've really followed along with the Royals. You know, baseball giveth, baseball taketh away. It's not fun to follow bad teams, but man, when you've got a good team, it's the best bandwagon sport. There's no question about that. And I don't mean that negatively. I mean that in the most positive way possible. It is fun to get on board with a good baseball team.
It really is. It's been a while since I've been to a Royals game. I tried to go as often as I can. You know, schedule-wise, it's tough. I know you went just recently. But the last game that I went to was two seasons ago. It was right about the time you and I started doing Sports Daily together. And it was I remember specifically, it was a makeup game from a rainout against the White Sox. It was a Monday afternoon game after school was already back in session. I think the game started at like, you know, 2 o'clock. And it was, I'm not kidding you, the lowest attended game, I think, in 30 some years for the Royals. There were maybe a couple thousand people there. Then that was basically it. So yeah, it's been a minute since I've been there, and that was the last one. I know I'm going to go to a game in September with my wife, and I'm super excited. It's going to be a significantly different atmosphere than the last time I made it up to a game.
So here's what's fun for me. We went to that Royals game. My son, like, I cannot believe he still had a voice. I've told you he's going to be a rock and roll front man. Like, Get Loud is all he wanted to do. And scream and dance. And in fact, we went to a Wind Surge game afterward for our, you know, for our all ball. And at that game after, for that charity event, he's like, "Do they have a Get Loud?" And I was like, "They'll have a Get Loud, buddy." And they had a Get Loud with a prize for like a free slice of Picasso's pizza. And so they were nearby. And I'm not kidding. Like, everyone just like turned around and looked at him, just like, rah, like right. And he won. He got a free slice.
Good.
But what's been really cool about it is since we've gone, like, every night, you know, used to be you'd get groans of like, "Oh, we had to watch baseball again." He's like, "Dad, can we just stay up like 10 more minutes and watch you know, now he knows it's the Royals. For a minute there, he was confused whether it was the Royals or the Rangers. He doesn't really care, but he just wants to watch baseball. Like, he's like, can we just watch baseball for 10 minutes? I'm like, oh, yes. Like, the lights are going off. Yes, we can. Don't tell mom. We'll stay up all night. But yeah, no, it's been really cool. And here we go. Royals back in action. They go tonight, 5:30. House money a little bit. We'll talk about this in the second hour. It's house money now. Like, I feel like they got two wins that I didn't expect them to get when we consider the circumstances. And now you've got a chance to do real damage against Cleveland. If you can just take one of the next two, take two of the next two, that'd be great. But it does feel house money-ish. There is no outcome where you won't come out of this and think, yeah, that was a success. I mean, you split on the road with Cleveland.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that Royals fans everywhere and probably even the team to an extent can exhale a little bit going into tonight's game. Now, of course, you want to be able to gain more ground on the Guardians, and you win today. All of a sudden, you know, you're right there and you've got the opportunity to take first place in the AL Central, which is just wild to think about. But at the same time, at least you're guaranteed, worst case scenario, by the time this series wraps up, to not have lost any ground against the Guardians. Of course, we're getting to a point now where, I mean, it's head-to-head matchups. We're getting late into the season. Sure. You've got to try to make up that ground. But worst case scenario, at least we're not talking about the Royals being even further behind.
And they feel a little vulnerable, too, at the moment, that you don't want to lose sight of either. I mean, you definitely want to win one of the next two. Maybe we'll be disappointed. I mean, talk to us on Thursday if we're disappointed that they couldn't get it done. But I think that we'll feel fine. And we'll get into the specifics tonight and all of those types of things as we continue. We are hoping Dan Israel will join us at the top of the next hour. Dan has had an interesting couple of weeks, but hoping to talk a little Chiefs with Dan. We'll talk a little Chiefs one way or the other. It's Sports Daily. You've got your Cody Jinx giveaway set up right now. All you got to do is text Cody, C-O-D-Y, 20357. That is our first hour giveaway. We'll give away some HTO in the second hour, so stay tuned for that opportunity as well. All this Royals talk, by the way, Royals baseball is available for free on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune into KFH at noon yesterday, so you had the double header. So today, you can get it starting at 5:30 right there on the Odyssey app. Just search KFH and we'll have it for you. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.